Okay, Boker Tov world. Today's daf from the Masechet Sotah, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Chof Tet. And before we begin Mamash, the new part of the sugya, I just wanted to point out one of the fascinating inyanim over here is the fact that the Torah will not allow bedika in a case where the husband himself was chote. And it's a very beautiful Reb Tzadok on that issue, as the implications of that idea. Because, I mean, what he points out is that Lamaisa, the most dangerous thing that a person can do is to actually accuse someone or speak about someone where he himself has that same chisoron, and that over there, that becomes, and he brings many examples where that becomes the very thing that is the most destructive midas hadin against him. So that whenever a person goes and attacks somebody else, if he is vulnerable, he's bringing the house down on himself by doing something like that. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, is protecting the Baal in this case by seeing to it that he cannot actually bring about this din, because if he did, it would be so incredibly destructive to him that there would be a complete midas hadin against him. So it's a very beautiful thing. And also, bichlal, it's important to remember the difference between yesh bo das lishael, that the entire idea of tyrus is based on das. Remember that the entire name for the Seder of Taharas is called Chochmas Vada'a, specifically in the Pasuk that we use as the remez for the structure of the Shisha Sidarim. And therefore, Yesh Bo Da'at Lishael is something that is central to the whole idea. It's not just like this side point, and it becomes, therefore, an essential ingredient in what the nature of Tumah is and how Tumah can affect a person. Just wanted to point that out before we go further. Okay, anyway, where were we holding? So we were holding right now on the top of Chof Tes Omer Aleph, and what we recognized was that we've got this strange discussion between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva uses one of the psukim, one out of what we thought were three psukim, and he uses three psukim, one of which is coming to tell me the Echaz Labal, Echad Laboel, and one of them was coming to tell me truma, to which Rabbi Yishmael said, meaning that a sotah cannot eat truma. So even if she was a bas kohen and she's married to a kohen, she loses her right for achilas truma until she's proven innocent. Rabbi Yishmael responded to that by saying, we don't need a pasuk to tell me that a sotah is asura lekohuna. So the Gemara said, Rabbi Akiva never said anything about a sota being asura lekohuna. So why in the world was Rabbi Yishmael saying we don't need a pasuk? And actually, now that you mention it, says the Gemara, how does Rabbi Akiva know that she's asura lekohuna? And I remember that we learned from there a very important nekuda, and we quoted it from Reb Chaim Brisker, that the idea of the sota being a considered to be a zona vis-a-vis her husband and so on is a chiddush akra, is a specific halacha that is not telling us that we should actually pasken that she was mezana. It's telling us that a seita is asur lebaala. That's a chiddush. We have no reason to say that therefore she would have a shame zayna to be asur lekohen, and it does not mean that therefore she would have a shame zayna to say that she's a halala and that she's psula from the truma. So each one of these issues needs a raya. Fine. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, how indeed does Rabbi Akiva know, if he doesn't have a pasuk, that a seita is asur lekohen? How would she be asur lekohen? Well, obviously, if her husband divorced her, she's asur lekohen anyway, because she's a divorcee. So that wouldn't be the case. The case would be if the husband died and now she wants to go marry a kohen. So this would be a chiddush that now she cannot go and marry a kohen because she would be psur lekohen. Where does it say that? The dinim of seita were only vis-a-vis the Baal. They were not a definition of her metzias across the board. That's the question that we had. And we got up to the mekor of Rabbi Akiva. Ella, that's the third line. So, Ella, the truth is that Rabbi Akiva was not telling us the full range of his actual limud. Truth is that Rabbi Akiva has to darshan four separate psukim, even though nitma'ah. Now, remember, the word nitma'ah, on some form or another, occurs five times in the parsha of Seita. But one of them is vehilo nitma'ah. So we're obviously not going to talk about that one, right? One of them was talking about where she was a Seita vadai. We're not talking about that one. So we're talking about the three nitma'ahs, one of which is the nitma'ah. Now, the problem is that according to Rabbi Akiva, we darshan the vav of the nitma'ah, which means that essentially we have four drushas at our fingertips, according to Rabbi Akiva, because he never talked about what to do with that extra vav. So now let's talk about it. The truth is that Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, we have four different psukim, and therefore, chad lebaal, chad leboel, chad lekuhuna, v'chad letruma. That's the truth. And Rabbi Shmuel knew that, that Rabbi Akiva was utilizing the pasuk of the vav to tell me the kuhuna, and therefore have an extra pasuk to tell me the din of truma. Whereas according to Rabbi Shmuel, who does not doresh vav, he's lost one of these drashas, right? So he's coming along and he's saying, well, you're okay because you have four psukim, and you think I'm not okay because I only have three psukim, but I can learn it from a kal vachomer. That's what he was coming to tell Rabbi Akiva, and that basically we end up with the same result. Because if she's asura for the truma, so kol shekein, she will be asura to the kahuna. That's the point. So Rabbi Shmuel says, okay, I've got chad leva'al, chad levo'el, chad letruma. So you're saying, well, how do I know the kuna? I know the kuna kal vachomer from truma, which I made from the gerusha, right? That's why he mentioned it, because all of this he was taking into consideration in his conversation with Rabbi Akiva, and they were dealing with the psukim, each one kishitato, Rabbi Akiva who does have the vav, and Rabbi Shmuel who doesn't. Now there's a problem. Because what Rabbi Shmuel did was very sneaky. Because what he said was, well, I only have three psukim, so I'll use one of the psukim for truma, and then I'll make a kal vachomer. Well, if truma is included, kosher kein, the kuhuna is included. You can't do that. If you have only one other pasuk, and you've got two possibilities, right? The extra pasuk may be coming to tell me that she's asura in truma, or the extra pasuk may be coming to tell me that she's asura la kuhuna. Which one are you going to use it for? So Rabbi Shmuel says, well, I'll use it for the bigger Kiddush, for Truma, and then I can learn out Kuhuna as a given. Come on. Who gave you the right to use it for the bigger Kiddush? You have one Pasuk, use it for the lesser Kiddush. I mean, that's always the deal, right? You can't learn more than what you absolutely know. So you've got to learn Tafasta Merubah Lo Tafasta. So where's Rabbi Shmuel come off telling us that the Pasuk is referring to the bigger Kiddush, and now I'll learn out that kuhuna for sure is included if truma is a kuhuna. Ask the Gemara, see that inside. Rabbi Shmuel, we might need to call a truma, and then you can use the pasuk not to tell me kuhuna asu b'kal v'chaymer. Maybe the opposite. Let's learn the lesser chiddush and take from the pasuk demakitzuch l'kuhuna. And indeed, truma will be mutter. How does he know that truma is usher? Where does he come off saying that? Well, says Rabbi Shmuel, interesting response. Because of the fact that we've got these, all of these limudim are coming from the same words that are repeated, right? So it's the nitma'ah is the point. Well, look, we're all agreed that the ba'al and the bo'el are definitely the first thing that we're going to learn out, correct? Because that's what the pasuk is referring to. Okay, so then it seems to me that it's only logical to say that just like the din of the nitma'ah for the ba'al and the bo'el are issues that will affect this woman while the husband is alive, okay? So if the husband would divorce her, she's going to remain asura in the bo'el. That means that these are things that have to do with the permanent relationship with a living husband. So if that's true, the third pasuk, I say, would have to be referring to something of a living husband. Now, if you're going to talk about kuhuna, that has nothing to do with a living husband. Why? Because if he's alive, and the reason that we're worried about her marrying a kohen is because he divorced her, She's anyway not allowed to marry a Cohen because she's a divorcee. So that I don't need any riot for, correct? So what would you be telling me? That after the husband died, that she still can't marry a Cohen? Okay, but that is not really consonant with the first two, which we're talking about when the husband was alive. So therefore, I say it's more reasonable to use that pasuk to tell me that she cannot eat truma, which is nogea, even during her husband's lifetime, than to tell me that she can't marry a Kohen, which is only nogea after the death of her husband. That's why I felt I could use the third pasuk of the Nitma'ah to talk about truma, because of this logic, and then I would know kuhuna from a kal vachomer. Whereas Rabbi Akiva obviously doesn't hold that, because he says, I need four psukim. The reason he doesn't hold that, he says, where did it come off saying that? It was a kind of romantic kind of svara. I mean, where does it come from, such a svara? Each pasuk is a different pasuk. What, they all have to be consistent, that they were in the lifetime of the husband? I don't see that that's true. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva, as far as he's concerned, dumya devalubo eleta, he doesn't find that a very persuasive argument. You know what? Even if he does hold of it, even if it would be persuasive, you can't ask a kasha on him. What's the kasha? What do you need for psukim for? You should have just been soimach on the kal vachomer. We have a general rule that milta da'ati b'kal vachomer, torach v'kasav lakra. That even though we have something that can be learned from a kal vachomer, which is entirely a human understanding. Remember, the other midai shatar in the drashas by him, those are Kabbalahs that the Torah is retrospective. There's only one Midah that is entirely based on Aristotelian logic, and that is the Kal Vachomer. So Gufa, in that case, where you might always come up with the idea, well, I mean, the reason that I know that is because I figured it out, not because it's a Midah Shatar Nidreshesba. So therefore, the Torah will repeat a Kal Vachomer in a Pasuk to show you that the Mokar of it is the Torah, not just the fact that to you it seems logical. Okay. Anyway, continuing on, so milta nati b'kal v'chomer Torah b'kal v'lakra, I can't ask a question, why do I find a pasuk telling me something that I learned from a kal v'chomer? So, this question now, what have we come up with? That we're going to be using sota as a model for the dinim of suffik tumah. Now that we're past this issue of the four psukim, let's go back to what we were talking about. So we learned an amazing halacha yesterday, that sota becomes the model for suffik tuma, and there's a difference because of that between a suffik tuma brishus harabim and a suffik tuma brishus hayochid, because after all, by definition, a sota has to be alone in order for that suffik to be meaningful to us. And there's another thing that we said, not only that, but a sota yeshba da'at lisha'el. You can ask her, did you sleep with the guy or did you not sleep with the guy? Which means that the suffik tumah b'rishut hayachid, which we're going to say is tameh, is only if there is a mind to interrogate. If there is no interrogation possible, the event happened, a mouse was carrying a dead sheretz in its mouth and walks over something and we're not sure whether it was nogea, that is not considered to be included in the suffik tumah b'rishus hayochid, and over there, sfeiko would be tahor. Now, turns out that there's another marker, strangely, for the halacha of the difference between yeshbo da'at lishael where ain't bo da'at lishael. Amrav gidol amrav, I have a different makor. Dovash yesh bo da'at lishael, but ain't bo da'at lishael. This distinction can be learned from a different pasuk. Mi'ay kara nafka. V'habasara sheyiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel. So talking over here about the basar of shlamim, and we learn out from there all of the dinim that kodesh, that is tamei, is asur b'achila. So, if it says habasara sheyiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel, the implication is that you know the basar was nogea b'chol tamei, and if you know it, then lo ye'achel, which implies that vaday tamei hu de lo ye'achel. But if it was a suffik tamei, suffik tahar, the Torah never answered it. It would be ye'achel, but the same pasuk contradicts that, because the end of the pasuk says, "V'habasar kol tahor yochal basar." If you're dealing with the dinim of the basar of kodesh, only a person who is tahor can eat kodesh. But mashmir, if you're not sure that he's tahor, then he is usur. But that implies that the suffix would be a suffix of that it would be usur, because only a vadai tahor who the yochal basar. But if a suffix tamei suffix tahor lo yochal. Now, what is the difference between the two parts of the pasuk? Obvious difference. The first part of the pasuk was talking about the basar, and it was said that if the basar is vadai tamei, a basar asher yigah b'chol tamei, you can't eat it. The second part of the pasuk was referring to the individual who's eating it. The habasar kol tahor yochal basar. So now we're moving on to discuss the person. So what's the difference? How come one of them, if the suffix is considered to be okay, and the other one, the suffix, is not considered to be okay? Says Rav Gidel Amarav. Ha, 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 ha. Therefore, you see, where you're dealing with a person who can be interrogated, so he's yesh bo dat lishael. And therefore, it says over there that in yesh bo dat lishael, that the suffix will be usher. But the first part was talking about the meat. You cannot interrogate the meat, can you? So from there, you see the difference. If it's something that cannot be interrogated, then the din is that Sveiko is tahor. If it can be interrogated, then the din is Sveiko is tame. Beautiful. So alalav shmamina, kan sheyesh bo da'at lishael, v'kan sheyesh bo da'at lishael. Amazing, beautiful, beautiful raya. Now, the question is, but we already learned that din directly out of Saita, which is the makor of the inyan. Why do we have two places that come to tell us the same thing? Ah, says the Gemara, because they're not the same. We need both of them to enlighten each about the other. These are very complementary. Let's say we would only have known what Rav said according to Rav Gidel, right? So Edim and Rav, I would have said this then about Basar and the one who's eating the Basar. Yes, you're 100% right. That is clearly a distinction between Yeshbo Da'at Lishael and not, but it doesn't say anything about Rishus HaYachin and Rishus HaRabim there. Like, where would we know that there's this additional quality of where? I would only say what? Yeshbo Da'at Lishael or Yeshbo Da'at Lishael. So I would have thought that Bein Bershut HaYachid, Bein Bershut HaRabim, if Yeshbo Da'at Lishael, the suffix is Tameh. Because the pasuk obviously is not discussing that. So because of that, I need Sota to tell me the difference between the Rishus HaYochan and Rishus HaRabim. Because the concept of stira is only possible in what is defined as the Rishus HaYochan, where there are only two people present. Okay. On the other hand, so that I need to know from Sota. Now, you'll say, okay, but from Sota, you know also Yesh Bo Da'at Lishael, right? No, because I'll tell you why. If I would only have known Sota, and I wouldn't have known Rav Gidel Amarav, Hava Mina, Ade Ika Da'at Nogea Umagia. By the Sota, you have two people involved. You have the Sota that you can interrogate, and you have the Boel you can interrogate. Both of them, Yeshbo Da'at. So I would have thought that maybe this concept of Yeshbo Da'at Lishael is Tameh is only where it's the Nogea and the Menuga. In other words, the source of the tumah can be interrogated. So let's say the person is walking around and he's tummy. And now there's a suffix if he came in contact with another person. You can ask both of them. And therefore we should need yesh bo da'at lishael from both ends, perhaps. Comes along, therefore, the case of Rav Gidel Amarav, where over there's no indication whatsoever that you need the source of the tumah has to also be able to be asked. It's just a kol tahor. So therefore, we see that actually it's enough for even one of them to have das lishael. And that's megala. Rav Gidel Amarav is megala on the limut from Sota that you should not learn that it's in both directions. Anyway, I finally figured out what Rav Barnea is doing. He pretends to be suggesting that I should drink. But in reality, you'll notice that every time he starts waving, I get hoarse. Now, that implies that what this is all about is voodoo. and that in actuality, while pretending to present a solution, he's actually creating the problem. I've noticed already now that it's every time. That can't be a coincidence. I challenge you to find some other explanation. Okay, now we are about to enter into an amazing world of Hilchos Tumah Vatairah, into one of these incredible shas sugyas that is repeated in many places. The concepts are repeated, and nobody understands them because they're so complicated. And the truth is, as usual, people make things complicated. Now, this is really a very straightforward sugya, but only on condition that you have your fundamental facts down pat. And if you know, as the Rambam says, if you have learned my hakdama to Seder Tyrus every day of your life, and you know it as well as you know Ashrei, you will have no problem with this sugya. There you go. He actually writes that. So, okay, so I'm assuming that we've had enough exposure to these dinim that we will find all of this very simple. But nonetheless, look, instead of going through a long and complicated introduction about things that I believe all of you are already, Baruch Hashem, very well aware of, I'll just remind you at each point of what's being taken into consideration as a given, okay? So let's start off. It all is triggered by this wonderful piece of the Mishnah, in which Rabbi Akiva was Derech Bo Bayom from the Koch Licheres Asher Yipo Mitocho Letocho Kol Asher Betocho Yitma Tamelo Nemar Ela Yitma Melamed, that the Kikar Sheni is Oisa Kikar Shlishi. So let's get that straight, first of all, once and for all, so that we can understand clearly what it's saying. If you have a Kli Cheres, we know that a Kli Cheres will not be Mekabel Tumah from its outside. It's only Mekabel Mitocho, as it says, Kol Asher Yipol El Tocho. Okay. Now the question is, does that mean that when something falls into a Kli Cheres, that the entire Kli Cheres becomes filled with that Tumah, and therefore anything inside of the Kli Cheres is Yitma, because it's as if it's in like an Ohel HaMeis? So being inside of a Kli Cheres is the equivalent of coming into contact? No, it does not mean that. How do I know it does not mean that? Because it says, Kol asher betocho yitma mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel or mashkeh asher yishateh. Now, if it would be true that the entire Kli is filled, so to speak, with Tuma, then it would not be limited to an impact on ochlin or mashkin. Because anything, a normal Kli, that's not a Kli Cheres, which is Mekabel Tumah from its outside, if it would be inside that Kli Cheres, why isn't it Tameh? How come only foodstuffs is Tameh? If there's an Ava Tumah, Sheretz, inside the Kli Cheres, then it's, you're telling me if it's all full of Tumah, so then it's touching the outside of the Kli of, which is called Kli Shetef, meaning washable Kelim, it can be put into a mikveh. And it's saying, well, they won't become Tameh. Why won't they become Tameh? They're touching an Avatuma, and Avatuma can be Matami Akli. Obviously, they are not touching an Avatuma. So how do things become Tameh instead of Kli Cheres if it's not filled with Tuma? Very simple. The Kli Cheres is capable of both absorption and transmission of Tuma through space. That's the point, which is called the Avir of a Kli Cheres. So if something is inside of a Kli Cheres, it's Matame the Kli Cheres through the space. Then the Kli Cheres will be metame anything inside of it, even if that thing is not in direct contact with the Tumah, it will be metame it in turn. But that means that attenuation takes place, which always happens with Tumah. First, the Tumah goes into the Kli, makes the Kli only a Rishon, because now it can't become an Av. The Ava Tumah was metame the Kli to make it a Rishon. Anytime now that the Kli is going to zap it's in its space, something else, it's only zapping it as a Rishon LeTumah. But a Rishon LeTumah cannot be Metame Kelim. It can only be Metame Ochlun Umashkin. Therefore, it's Bikola Ochel HaSheyachel. Beautiful. Okay. So, Once that's true, says Rabbi Akiva, note that what it's telling you is that since Mikola Ochel Asher Ye'achel is not referring necessarily to Hegdash, is it? To anything. It could be referring to Truma, it could be referring to Hegdash, or for that matter, it could be referring to Chulin. Now you'll say, but Chulin, the Torah doesn't consider Chulin to be meaningful in terms of Tuma, does it? It does. Where? Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni is neither Truma nor Hegdash. And yet it says, Lo achalti mimenu batamei. Ben shanita mei vutar, ben shuhuta mei vanitar, batamei. What that means is that even something that has none of the milos of Truma or Hegdash is just chulin, but it can be makabel Tuma because it says over here Yitma. If it says Yitma and it's Maaser Sheni, can you eat it? No. Lo achalti mitamei, and it's calling it tamei. What do you see from there? That anything that's in it, it itself will be tamei to be yitma yitamei acherim. To be metamei acherim means that now we have just discovered that there's a concept of shlishi, and that that thing that became a sheni because it was zapped in the airspace of that klicheres now in turn is capable of touching some other thing and making it tamei as a shlishi. Yitma, we darshan yitamei. Otherwise, it would have just said tamei. That was the original drasha, already opens up our minds to all kinds of exciting possibilities, right? Okay. Now, once this is true, then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yeshua says, ah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you were nervous that there would be a door that would be coming that would say that even Truma cannot become a shlishi. And here are future Dorais, and they're proving that even Chulin, Midiraisa, and you said you don't, there's no marker. That's what you said. Okay. Ask the Gemara, well, I mean, so how did Rabbi Yochanan know it? If Rabbi Yochanan says, She'ein lo, he says, there is no pasuk. So then, okay, why do you say that it's true? Why don't you bite the bullet, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and say that, well, I guess they're right. You know, there's no pasuk. I don't know why I'm prejudiced and thinking that there's such a thing as a shlishi. If you didn't know Rabbi Akiva's drasha, then why were you so sure that that's the fact and that shlishi betruma is a possibility? So me'achar de'en lo lama tameh? Why did you say that it would be tameh? And here says Rav Yehuda Amarav, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai knew that it was tamei, even though there was no pasuk, because min haTorah ein lo. You're right, there is no mocker in the Torah, but midin kavachomer yesh lo. And I'm going to explain to you the kavachomer. Says Rav, here's the kavachomer: if a tful yom who is mutter bechulin. And again, whenever we use the word chulin over here, we are referring to chulin to which tuma will make a difference, midiraisa, namely, maaser sheni. A tful yom can definitely eat maaser sheni, and he definitely cannot eat truma. So let's not use the word posel betruma, which is a different approach to the Gemara. Rashi learns out throughout, means posel betruma, meaning that he's usher to eat truma. So a tful yom is osur to eat truma. Now the truth is, remember, that we have three completely different psukim, as the Gemara darshans, we had this in Yevamos and so on. There's three different psukim. We have the pasuk that says that he's tahar v'taval, the tahar, that's referring to something. It can't be referring to truma, because by truma it says uba shemesh v'taher. So it must be referring to chulin. Uba shemesh v'taher, that's referring to truma. And then the third pasuk, which talks about a mechusar kippurim on the eighth day, that when they bring their carbon, the zav and the zava, the oledes, will be v'taher, that's in terms of kadesh. So that means we have three different madregas of taira in the taira, one of which is sufficient to be dealt with by tefillah, one of which requires Erev Shemesh, one of which requires bringing a korban. When you're talking, obviously it depends on the level of tuma that's b'chayev you to bring a korban. Not every tuma is b'chayev a korban. But that's a different issue. There's the different levels of tuma, and then there's the different levels of how to be mitaher from the truma. to the tumor. Let's not confuse those two, because we're going to see that we interrelate the two issues throughout this sugya. So on the one hand, we know that the levels of tumor consist of an aviavota tumor, which is capable of making something an avhatuma. There's only one thing, and that is an actual mace, or those things that are nogeat directly the mace. And then there's an avhatuma, which is normally, and it's important to know, as we're going to see, that this makes a big difference. Normally, an avhatuma is defined as something which is the source of tumor. It has not contracted tumor from somewhere. There's only one case where you have an avhatuma that can contract avhatuma, and that's only where it comes into contact with an aviavot. And therefore, remember that the idea of an avhatuma of tumas meis is an anomaly, and that's going to turn out to be very important in our understanding of these drushes. Fine. So generally speaking, when there is the source of tumor, whatever that source is, it's an avhatuma. When it's something that has affected something else, that thing is going to be a secondary tumor, which means it's a tolda, not an av. Now, toldos, there's different levels of toldos. So there's the one that is the first touch, which is the risha. The risha can be matame, something else to be a sheni. A sheni theoretically could make a shlishi. A shlishi should make a revi, and so on and so forth. But it depends then on the sensitivity of the object to Kabbalah's tumah. Not all objects are affected by tumah, and not all levels of kedusha of objects. So, first of all, we have the entire Hilchos Kelim that defines which kelim can be affected by tumah. Then let's assume we have that type of kli. Then we have the level of kedusha of that thing. So is that thing going to be dealing with Hegdesh? Is it going to be dealing with Truma? Is it going to be dealing with Chulin, namely Meiser? Okay, that depends. So where it comes to Chulin, we just showed that Ochlin, according to Rabbi Akiva, of Meiser Shady can be a Shlishi. It can't go further than that. And this is an important word to remember. If something cannot go further, then that means even though tumah has affected it, you cannot call it tameh. Because to call something tameh means that if you put a tumah Geiger counter next to it, it will start clicking, which means that it's emitting tumah. But something that can't be matameh something else is not emitting tumah. Because what kind of thing will you use for your Geiger counter? There's nothing that it's going to be able to affect, so it's not going to be noted as tameh. Therefore, we don't call it tameh. We call it puzzle. So where it's at the lowest end of the ability to be affected by tumah, it ends up being puzzle and not tome, because that's the end. So the dead end is always puzzle. The dead end is also the avatuma, but we won't worry about that. Okay, that's just a play on words. So now, the Kal Vachomer goes like this. A tful yom is allowed to eat meiser sheni. Now here again, we're talking about the way in which the tumah has been affected through the process of tyra. So we have to distinguish between objects, between the level of tumah, between the level of kedusha, and between the levels of treatment of the tumah. So the treatment of the tumah can consist of all kinds of things. If you're talking about tumah meis, it requires the paraduma, hazayah shlishi v'tfi, and then it requires tefillah and so on. Well, you're talking about something, someone who is tummy, who only needs to go into a mikveh. So then it means going into the mikveh. The moment he goes into the mikveh, he's allowed to eat. By the way, there's also subsections here, because let's say a zov can't go into a mikveh. Yeah, he can go into a mayan. He just has to have a natural source of spring water. So even that's different. You have mayan, mayim chayim, you have mikveh. And then you have the tful yom after going to the mikveh until Harav Shemesh. And then in the event that he's a mechuser kippurim, which means that he's one of those like a mitzera or a zov or a zova or a yoledes that requires kippurim, that then he will also have to bring a carbon, and there's residual tumah until he brings the carbon. But that residual tumor is only relevant for Kutchin. It is not relevant for anything else, because that the Torah said, after Ubar Shemesh V'Taher, that's good enough for Truma. So it's only afterwards Yochal B'Kadesh. Okay, fine, for Kutchin. You see? So keep those four different issues in your mind. Don't confuse them, because we're going to be using them in different ways, interrelating them in different ways. And that's a source of a lot of confusion to people in this sugya. Because remember that the Tful Yom started as an Avatuma, perhaps, right? And now he's a Tful Yom. So he's no longer going to be metame things as an Avatuma, because the very fact that the Torah said at this point he's not called Tome vis-a-vis Meiser means that he's certainly not an Avatuma anymore. Yet he is not a Tolda in the sense that he's still an Av, but he's an attenuated Av. And that can create technical differences between being really the equivalent of a lower level of tuma. Okay, so keep that in mind. In reality, when we're analyzing the level of tuma of a tful yom in terms of its ability to affect things, because of the fact that he is able to eat the farish in the Torah, he's able to eat his maaser sheni, that means that he is possible for truma, but able to eat meiser. Now, that is the equivalent of a sheni betuma. So because he went to the mikveh, we're treating him as being something like a sheni betruma. So a sheni betruma is mutter for meiser sheni, but is usser for eating truma, and he will also possel truma. Fine. So now, if that's the case, let's take an actual kikar sheni. If you have a piece of bread, which was in a kli cheres, and that became tameh, as it says beferish in the pasuk, yitma, okay? That kikar is tameh, defined tameh by the Torah. Does it say it's tameh only for kodesh? No. Does it say it's tameh only for truma? No. It says it's tameh. So then that means if you would want to eat this as maaser sheni, would you be allowed to? No. And the Torah calls this tameh. So if you're telling me that a kikar sheni, which is possible to be eaten as maaser sheni, that is to say as chul, so then that would obviously be able to make a shlishi betruma, wouldn't it? Because it's going to be worse than the tful yom. The tful yom is mutter as maaser sheni, and the kikar sheni is aser. Now, the only thing you can say is, oh, wait a minute, you forgot a very important principle. And that is called Dayo Lavomin Adin Liot Kinidon. You can't take something, more information out than the information that went in. You're saying, therefore, it should make a shlishi. Don't say, therefore, make a shlishi. Where did we ever see anything about making a shlishi? You can say it should be the same thing as the Tful Yom itself, and it should be usher. But where do you get the idea that it should also make the shlishi of truma? That is a very blatant violation of Dayo Lavo Min Adin Liot Kinadon, right? Answers Rashi that we have another principle with Dayo, namely, Heicha Demevatu Leila Kal V'Chomer Lo Amrinan Dayo. In the event that this Kal V'Chomer doesn't teach you anything at all, if you apply Dayo, don't apply Dayo. Just take the simplest implication of the Kal V'Chomer. That would be what Dayo would say. But it would not say throw the Kal V'Chomer out the window. So now we know that the idea that something can become a sheni, that's a beferish pasuk. It says, Kol asher betocho yitma mikol ha'ochel. And it does not say that that's only true about truma or only true about kodesh. It's even true about chulin. So I don't need a kal v'chomer to tell me, yes, indeed, from here we see a kal v'chomer that truma can become a sheni. What? That's in the pasuk that it can become a sheni. I don't need to bring it as a kal v'chomer from the fact that a kikar sheni is usher to eat as meiser. It's absurd. It's the same exact pasuk that tells us truma as meiser, as kodesh. So what's the point? If I'm able to learn out something from the fact that the kikar is more chomer than the tvuyom, then it must be that it can actually make a shlishi betruma. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's logic. And therefore, he said, I'm very nervous about this because there are ways to attack this. And I'm worried that future generations are going to come out and say that there is no tuma on Shlishi Betruma. Comes along Rabbi Akiva and says, it's a pasuk, man. It doesn't say that kol asher betocho tameh. It says kol asher betocho yitma. So what is it going to make tameh? Okay, so you see that you can make a shlishi. Puzzle maybe, but you can definitely affect it by touching it with something that's a sheni. Okay, so that is what we were referring to. But wait, says the Gemara, that's not a good kal vachomer. Because a tful yom, and again, this is confusing, but we just explained it. A tful yom is an avatuma. It's just he's an attenuated avatuma because of the way that we treated him to the mikveh, you see. That's not the same thing as being a sheni. An attenuated avatuma may have some dinim that affect things as if he were a sheni, but he really is an av. Just an attenuated av. Isn't it very possible, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that an attenuated av is more chomer than something that is initially a sheni, and that you're bringing a kal vachomer from the kikar? It's not true. It's true that in its impact, it's less. But in terms of its reality as a mocker of tuma, it's really an ava tuma that has been treated to some extent, right? So maybe it indeed is usher. But something that never was an av, maybe it would not create a shlishi. The kikar was only a sheni, never started off as an av. That's a very powerful pircha, correct? But it's all based on our keeping straight the differences between the sources of the tuma, the levels of the tuma, and the treatment of the tuma. So that's why I mentioned to you earlier, keep that in mind. So we have a brilliant solution to this question. We'll drop the case from a tful yom who was an av. We could take a very simple case of a tful yom from someone who originally had touched the sheretz. Okay? It's exactly the same din. So a tful yom of a sheretz was never an avatuma. The sheretz was the avatuma, and if he touched that sheretz, he becomes only a rishon atuma. Nonetheless, he still requires Ubo HaShemesh V'Taher. Okay, so there you go. So that tful yom can go to the mikveh, can eat Meiser Sheni, and nonetheless, he's possible for Truma, and a Kikar Sheni, that is Otzer, more Chomer than the tful yom, and you're not allowed to eat it if it's Meiser Sheni, and therefore, for sure, the tful yom should have the same horrible impact that the kikar sheni has, and it will make a shlishi for truma because we can't say dio. It's got to teach us something, so it'll teach us that it'll make a shlishi, right? Okay, so we handled the pircha now. We're not going to talk about a tful yom who was an av. We'll talk about a tful yom who also was only a tolda. Now you'll say, yeah, but I mean, he was a rishon, and the kikar was always a sheni. That doesn't matter. That's why I explained to you before that the difference in kind between an av and a tolda is significant because of what it is that it shayach to impact. But there is no difference between a rishon and a sheni. A rishon and a sheni are both limited to impact on eichlin u'mashkin and will have no impact on kalim, because then for all intents and purposes, we don't view it as members of different sets the way we would say an av and a tolda are different. So that you can't ask, well, that's a rishon and that's a sheni. That's irrelevant. Okay, now, I could still ask you a good question, namely, a tful yom of sheretz? Okay, but at least there's such a thing as an av hatuma that is possible. I mean, but where you're talking about a kikar can never be an av hatuma. Now we're switching to the nature of the object that is mekabel the tuma. And we're saying that is an important consideration because, look, I understand that the person over here in this particular case touched the sheretz and he's not really an avatuma. That's fine. But he could have been an avatuma. He's the type of a member of a set of things that is able to deal with the penetration of tuma that would have made him an avatuma. when you're talking about a kicker is a weakling, meaningless kind of thing in terms of Tuma. It could never be more than a tolda. It could never be an avatuma. Isn't that different? I mean, a tvuyom of sherets b'minoyesh avatuma. And here we have a brilliant solution, an absolutely amazing solution. Kli cheres yochiach. We can prove from the concept of a kli cheres, and a kli cheres is something that is actually unable to be an avatuma, surprisingly, because only things that are shayach to become tahor are shayach to become an avatuma, because when the Torah starts talking about the din of things that are tame, it says beferish by the klicheres, oto tishameru. You have to break the klicheres. Why can't I be tevel a klicheres? And since, because it doesn't have any opening to being able to be tavul, which means that it's not included in the entire story of the parsha, which when it talks about the idea of becoming tame, it talks about becoming tahor by going to the mikveh, and therefore does not include the kli cheres. And that's this gives us an amazing opening, because then we can say, okay, a kli cheres is not able to be an avatuma, and therefore it's like the kikar. It cannot be mekabel an avatuma. And yet, the kli cheres itself, as we just learned, is the very thing that goes ahead and makes the truma a sheni, because it says, kol asher betocho yitma. I don't care what that is. It's truma. It's not kodesh yitma. So that means the kikar in it is going to be a sheni. Okay, so you don't want to talk about the kikar. Fine. Talk about a klicheres that was makabel tuma, and that klicheres is nonetheless going to make only as a tolda, that can never be enough, is going to make truma puzzle. So therefore, it's a kal v'chomer that we can learn that in that sense, the Tvuyom is the basis of our kal v'chomer. It's the same exact kal v'chomer, but without any openings to being able to ask on it. Well, says Gemara, you're right, but I have another kasha on the case of kli cheres. Because Malik kli cheres is an incredible chiddush. Has a tremendous chumra. It actually uses space to transfer tuma. Nothing else is able to transfer tuma across a field. Only kli cheres, other than the dinim of tumas meis, obviously, where there's the field of the concept of oyel. But here we're not talking about that concept at all. It's a kli, and therefore, you can't learn anything out of a klicheres. The klicheres, of course, can make a sheni betruma, but that's because it has this chumra being betame me'avirai. That's going to prove to you that something that is unable to do that can make a shlishi betruma? Where do you come off saying that? Well, wait a minute. The din of the tful yom that we talked about, the tful yom, he is not able to make something tame through avir. Okay, so then what are we going to do? We'll say, yes, but remember the Tvuyom started out as an Av. Okay, but the Klicheres didn't start out as an Av. It cannot be an Av. Yeah, but the Klicheres can be Metami Me'aviro. Okay, but the Tvuyom can't be Metami Me'aviro. So put the two together, and we end up with a Ma'at Tzad, right? So the Tzad HaShav Shebehem will be sufficient to be able to learn our Kal V'chomer. And Chozer Adin, Lori Zekrize, Velori Zekrize. So the Tvuyom is not like the Klicheres, because it doesn't have Avir. And the Klicheres is not like the Tvuyom, because it can't be an Av. What's the Tzad HaShav HaShebehem? The Tzad HaShav HaShebehem is, according to Rashi, the correct Girsa, and he shows that this Girsa is not supportable. Tzad HaShav HaShem Shemitam Im. That's the Tzad HaShav. Both of them are considered to be Tomei. Even though the Tvuyom went to the Mikveh, it still says, Uba Shemesh V'Tayer, which means that he's still Tomei. And if that's the case, then I can learn out from it. The same thing should be true, that Kol Shekein Akika Sheni, which is Posel B'chulin, as we saw, even for Baiser Sheni, you cannot eat a Sheni. Kol Shekein, it will be Posel B'truma. That was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Kal V'chomer, and now everything works out. So then why was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai worried that there's going to be a generation that will show that this is not a good Kal V'chomer? Does he foresee a problem with his Kal V'chomer? Yes, he does. And what is that? Dor Acher. What's the Dor Acher? What will they be asking? They will say, Mal atzad ha-shavash v'em shekein yesh behem tzad chamur. Now, this is a very strange thing, and this is something that we've discussed in many places. Tzad chamur means that instead of saying that the common denominator between them is X, Y, or Z, what we say is that the tzad chamur, the tzad ha-shavash v'em, is the fact that both of them are anomalies. They're totally insane. This is how Tosfos explains it in Psachim. That we're not asking the fact that they both have some unusual chomra. That's every tzara chomra. Every tzara shava is based on that, of canceling out the particular dinim of one or the other. I mean, that's the point. Otherwise, you might as well throw out the whole limud of a tzara shava shabam, right? So when we ask the tzad chamur, what we're actually saying is that if you can identify in both of the sources of your limud a total anomaly, which means that they are not something that fits into the normal halachas. And we do have that over here. These are anomalies. And therefore, to say that something can make actually an avatuma out of something that is not itself tame, that is an incredible chiddush. And so is the idea of being metame me'aviro, doesn't appear anywhere else. So these are such anomalous situations. That's why I pointed out to you before that the idea of an ava tuma, where you yourself are not the source of tuma, which is what we're asking over here, does not appear anywhere else in the Torah, except in this particular case of the tful yom that was exposed to maga of a mace. He himself is alive. That is an anomaly. So they're going to say, okay, so we've got these two anomalous things, and you want to use them to prove on a non-anomalous situation that it is going to be able to create a shlishi. You cannot bring a raya from these very unusual cases. That's called the tzad chamur. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself was afraid that the dor that would come would ask this question, but he himself does not believe that you have a right to ask the tzad chamur. Isn't that the whole point of a tzad hashavet? Is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but he's aware of the fact that there is a shita that would ask tzad chamur. He himself, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, tzad chamur lo parich. He does not ask that himself. Now, we could go on, but I'm not going to go on, not only because we've run out of time, as I would torture you a little bit, but because the continuation of the Gemara takes for granted that you've understood this first piece thoroughly. And therefore, in order to be able to properly do the next piece, I urge you, review the daf. Make certain that you have all of these concepts absolutely clear so that we could take it one step further. In order to take it one step further, we're going to need to deal with the next level of treatment of Truma, which is Mechusar Kippurim. And we can use Mechusar Kippurim to prove yet one additional level of Truma, not only Shlishi, but Revi. But first, let's get our categories absolutely clear. See how this Kal V'chomer worked for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and what further Kal V'chomer could we apply if we take it all to its logical end. The Kal V'chomer, that is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's mocker, which he was very worried about future generations, that they may end up not believing this, and he learned out the din of a shlishi, that the out of the din of a tful yom. So he wanted to prove that the sheni is eise shlishi, and he was talking about Truma. He ended up proving it from a Kal Vachomer, from a Tvuyom, from a Sheretz, who had never been an Ava Tuma, and from a Kli Cheres. We're over there, even though the Kli Cheres could not become, in the end, that was his Raya, that a Kli Cheres is something that can never become an Ava Tuma, because it's not Shayach to Tefillah in a Mikvah, and he put the two together. So if you have a Tvuyom, the Sheretz, and you have a Kli Cheres, which can still be Metami, as it says, Beferish, that it's Yitma, what's inside of it. So from there, from the Kal Vachomer, we can learn that it must be that a Sheni can make a Shlishi, even though we should say Dayo, but what would be the point of the Kal Vachomer? We don't say Dayo in these cases, and therefore we ended up with a Tzada Shaveh Shebeinayim. Between the two of them, both of them are Metami. Fine. And it ends up the passing Betruma. So that proves Sheni can make a Shlishi if we're talking about Truma. And the reason that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was very frightened that in the future they would forget this limud and not believe it was because they would say that the two cases that we're basing it on, those two cases, remember, is a Kli Cheres and a Tvuyom Desheretz, that those two cases are unique cases, and therefore we're able to ask Tzad Chamur. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself did not believe that Tzad Chamur is a serious way to attack a Tzad HaShaveh, because the whole meaning of a Tzad HaShaveh is that it effectively proves that the issue on each side, being as it doesn't appear on the other side, cannot be the critical issue that causes the halacha. And even if you could say, but maybe the fact is that both of these sides have a very strange, weird kind of special issue, in the case of the Kli Cheres, that it's Metami Me'aviro, and in the case of the Tvuyom, that it's Shayach to be Metami from an Av HaTuma, even though it's not Yotze Migufay. Rabbi Yochanan didn't take that very seriously, but he was worried that in the future they would. Okay, now, that ended the mocker of Rabbi Yochanan's halacha that a Sheni can make a Shlishi Betruma. It does not address the question of whether Kadesh can become a Revi. And this is the next thing. Once we already talked about this Kal Vachomer, we have a similar Kal Vachomer that allows us to go one step further. Now, remember that all of this is we're talking about, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who did not accept Rabbi Akiva's drasha, wasn't aware of Rabbi Akiva's drasha, of the Lashon of Yitma, that the Kol Asher B'tocho Yitma, which was referring to this Kli Cheres, would mean that if some Sheretz, which is an Avatuma, falls into a Kli Cheres and then makes the Kli Cheres a Rishon Latuma, and the Rishon Latuma of the Kli Cheres now radiates that Tuma back into its airspace, and if there's, let's say, a Pita in there, then that Pita would become a Sheni. But the Torah doesn't say it's Tame. The Torah says Yitma, which can be read yitame, to be metame others, in which case it's innate in the halacha of the Kli Cheres and Sheretz, of Kol Asher Yipol Mitocho, that it makes a Shlishi. Because if the Sheni can be metame acherim, so then it's at least affecting them to be a Shlishi. If we would be given that, then we wouldn't have to come on to a new limud that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai learned, which is this Kal Vachomer. Now, what about taking it one step further and showing that it is possible to prove that a Shlishi, if we're talking about Kadesh, a Shlishi can actually make a Revi? So Tanya, Omar Rebbe Yossi, now this is taking things one step further. Omar Rebbe Yossi, I can prove to you that a Revi, the Kadesh, is possible. And remember, the meaning of possible is that it is considered to be Tame in terms of itself, that is to say, it has been devastated by the Tuma that it was exposed to, but it cannot transfer that Tuma outside of itself, and therefore you will not be able to detect it with your Tuma counter. So it won't show up on a Tuma counter because it's not emitting any kind of Tuma. Nonetheless, it itself has been parceled by the Tuma. So how do I know that this is even fourth level down in Kadesh that it becomes usher to eat that kodesh. How do I know that? Now, remember, I do know midiraisa that there is such a thing as a shlishi b'kodesh. How do I know that? Well, it says about the shlamim, as we discussed yesterday, that habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo yachel, right? Basar shlamim, or of any kind of kodesh, that touches anything that is tamei, is not allowed to be eaten. That means that if it touches, this business of blanking out your faces is making me nuts. If, especially Gavi, where he's going to be the recipient of a brilliant rainstorm tonight, which is so special. We're going to wash him out a little bit. At the very least, we should get a last view. So, Baruch Hashem, I must admit that I have been davening for more water for Israel. I'm always happy when there's water. Anyway, so thank you for remaining. Very good. Thank you for your view, Barnea. But that view is not enough to make it better than your face. So you can come back in. Okay. So the issue over here is that since the Torah says beferish, that basar of shlomi, that touches anything that's tamei, lo yeachel. What is the maximum of something that is tamei? What is that? What do we know about that? What? Where does the Torah talk about something that's tamei? How many steps down? Well, we just discussed it. We talked about a kli cheres, where a sheretz falls into the kli cheres, and there's a pita in the kli cheres. Now, without discussing Rabbi Akiva, what does it say over there? That the kikar inside of that kli cheres oven is going to be tamei. What level of tumah will it be? It will be a sheni, because the kli cheres itself was a rishon, and it was made into a rishon by the sheretz that fell into it, right? Now, that means that if basar of shlamim, asher yega b'chol tamei, which includes that kikar, which is a sheni, cannot be eaten. Now, what does that mean? That means that it has been devastated by its tumah, correct? So it's at least pasul. So we know that. It's a given that we have a shlishi b'kodesh. The question is there such a thing as a revi'i b'kodesh, which would mean that if that shlishi touched other things that were kodesh, they would become a revi'i. Can we prove that? That is the issue that we are looking to discuss now. A fascinating issue? Yes. An amazing issue? Absolutely. An earth-shattering issue? Fantastic. So we are all excited to look at this issue. So here we're going to look at it. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yosef, I can prove to you that a revi b'kodesh will be possible. Vedinu, doc, this is going to change your entire schedule for the day. I mean, if your patients find out that a revi b'kodesh is possible, they're probably going to be too excited to even sit in the waiting room. You might as well go on vacation, for heaven's sakes. So just tell them over this Gemara. Minayin l'revi b'kodesh pasul. Imagine, thousands of years after Kabbalah Satorah, there are people walking around dancing in the streets because they discovered that revi b'kodesh is pasul. Can you imagine? Are these people amazing? Absolutely amazing. Okay. So here's where I'm going to prove it to you. It is a kal v'chomer, and it's actually the same kal v'chomer, essentially, except using additional data points. It's the same kal v'chomer that we made yesterday. And here is how it goes. V'dinu. A mechuser kippurim is mutter betruma. Now let's just, for a moment, let's just think about that. I want to go over with you the fact that we have three different sukkim, each one of them claiming that it takes another stage to be matayar things. We talked about this yesterday. So we have three sukkim. One of them is v'lo yochal min hakodashim ki im rachatz b'saro b'mayim. Yitzi, yitzi. And we're talking about dancing in the streets. So now, it says you can't eat min hakodashim unless you put yourself into a mikveh. But if you put yourself into a mikveh, then you'll call me HaKadoshim, right? But then on the other end, it says, Uba HaShemesh V'taher. And then after V'taher, only after Ba HaShemesh, V'achar Yochal Min HaKadoshim. How do you explain that? First, it says, get that poser of yours into the mikveh, which is all you need. And then the other poser says, but don't eat Kachem until afterwards. How do you explain that? And it gets even worse, because we have a third pasuk that says, V'chiper alea ha-kohen v'tahera, that in the case of a yoledet, or any of the mechusrim v'kipara, you need to have the kohen bringing a carbon before you're capable of achila b'kachem. How do you explain that? So the Gemara in Yavamas explained it, that there's three different circumstances. The kodesh, that it says, it put gets going into the mikveh, that it says over there, that lo yochal min hakodashim ki im rachat b'soro, the kodashim that it's referring to there is meiser sheni, which in our sugya we're referring to as chulin, because relative to the other things we're discussing, truma kachim, it's chulin. And then the second one that says uba hashemesh v'teher v'achar yochal min hakodashim, that's referring to truma. And then the third one that says v'chiper la kohen v'tahera, that's referring to real Kachim, Basar of Kachim, or Mincha of Kachim. So there are three different dargas. The last darga, which requires the kapora of the Kohen of a Korban, is called a Mechusar Kippurim until that Korban is brought. So it's post-Tvila, post the Harav Shemesh, but pre the Hakravas HaKorban. That's the concept of Mechusar Kippurim. So, now that we are clear about that, we can talk about our Kal V'chomer, says Rabbi Yossi. Let's start off with the Mechusar Kippurim. And the Mechusar Kippurim, what is the din of that Mechusar Kippurim? Well, the din of a Mechusar Kippurim is, as we just saw, he's allowed to eat truma. We just saw that. Uba HaShemesh V'taher means as soon as sunset, before you bring any kind of korbanos, you can go right out and eat truma. What happened to my carbon? You don't need a carbon in order to eat truma. Now here's the Kal V'chomer. If a Mechusar Kippurim is mutter b'truma, is also when it comes to Kodesh, that's the whole point of the extra pasuk, first the Kohen has to bring the carbon, a shlishi, which is also even in truma. How do I know that? That was the Kal V'chomer that we learned yesterday of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? A shlishi is pasul b'truma. So kol shekein, that shlishi should be able to make a revi'i b'kodesh. Now you'll say, but dayo lavo min adin, and therefore we should at maximum say it can make a shlishi, but then what's the purpose of the Kal V'chomer? So as we have mentioned, any place where dayo will completely uproot the Kal V'chomer and make it useless, we don't say dayo. And therefore, we have now proven, Lamadnu Shlishi L'Kodesh Min HaTorah, we know Shlishi B'Kodesh, that we know Mamash Midiraisa, as I just explained to you before, from the case of Shlomim, which the Gemara will go through in a moment again. Once I know Shlishi L'Kodesh Min HaTorah, I now know Revi from a Kal V'chomer, because otherwise I would need the dial indeed to tell me Shlishi, but I know that. That's why he's mentioning it. I know Shlishi Min HaTorah. Remember, how do I know Shlishi Min HaTorah? Because V'habasar HaShiyiga B'chol Tamei Lo Ye'achel. It says when it comes to the Shlomim that you cannot eat any basar of Kodesh that has touched something Tamei. And we already know that something Tamei can include a pita, which is Milo Askinan de Naga Besheni, which we learned out from the din of a sheretz that falls into a Kli Cheres. So it says Lo Ye'achel. Well, why not? If it doesn't at least be Makabo Psul, therefore we know Shlishi. It's a given that there's Shlishi. And now I have proven to you the Kal V'chomer, because I no longer will be able to use this Kal V'chomer for anything, and therefore dayo is not problematic, and it extends it into a revi. Do you see how beautifully we've been able to take all of the cases in the Torah in terms of what has been defined as Tomei the context of the Tumah, the extent of the Tipul of the Tahara and its three different stages, and put them all together by careful analysis, constructing out of what Goyim would be reading this Pesuk and would get zero information, we come up with an entire Seder Tirus of such incredible detail, understanding precisely how each piece interrelates with each other, and utilizing our brains to be able to determine what would be the implications in cases that were not discussed. And those are the two Kal Vachomers that we've brought. This is truly exciting, guys, okay? So we have what is given to us min HaTorah, what it is that we've been able to extend. Now, Rabbi Yochanan heard this. This is Rabbi Yochanan, not Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan heard this, and he said, I don't get it. Something is wrong. What Rabbi Yossi is saying makes no sense. Tam baribi eni yodea mahu. I have no idea what he's talking about, because hare teshuvato betzido. His Kal Vachomer is ipso facto wrong. Look, he is claiming that this would mean that a shlishi makes a revi. And I'll prove to you from the case of ochel haba machmat tful yom. So we have food that touched a tful yom. The din over there will prove that he's wrong, because the halacha over there is that that does become pasul for truma. But even though it's pasul for truma, it will not create a revi b'kodesh. And he himself holds that, as I'm going to show you. Where do I show you that he himself holds that? The Tanya. Abba Shaul Omer, tful yom is a tchila lekodesh, letame shnayim, velifsol echad. So Abba Shaul says, look, obviously I'm not saying this midiraita, but there's a concept called malos bekodesh. This was something that we had in Chagiga, and that there is an idea that there are chumras that the chachomim made in certain cases that are only chumras in the dinim of tuma of kodesh, not to be applied in other cases. One of those chumras is, says Abba Shaul, that when it comes to Kadesh, a tful yom is not to be considered a sheni. A tful yom should be considered a risha, midrabbana. So we're going to treat him as if he's a risha. If he's a risha, then what that means is that vis-a-vis Kodesh, he can create two additional levels of tuma, meaning he can create a sheni, and that sheni can create that shlishi, and he can actually make something else pasul, the lifsol echad, which would mean that actually he would be able to be metame, something that we would then call, he makes a sheni and a shlishi, that we would then call a revi, but that would only be pasul. So it's not technically tame, it's pasul. Okay, now this piece, Abba Shaul, completely consistent with Rabbi Yossi, right? Because Abba Shaul is saying that there is such a thing as a revi, and he's also saying that we're even more machmer a tful yom. That's a different issue. That's a maila midrabbana. Rabbi Meir Omer, no, I don't agree with that. There's no such maila. A tful yom is a sheni. He's not a risha, and therefore he will only be metame one level down, and as a sheni, he'll make it a shlishi, and that shlishi can make one level down possible by kodesh, which would be a revi. Okay, so far, this is also consistent with Rabbi Yossi, right? Completely consistent. Now, I hold, says Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yossi agrees with the Chachonim, and of course, like, why in the world would he hold that? That the Gemara is going to ask. But I hold that Rabbi Yossi actually agrees with the Chachonim, and the Chachonim Aimrim, Kishem Sheposel Ochle Truma Umashke Truma, Atfuyom Ken Pasel Truma foods, meaning he makes them a shlishi, because he is a sheni. That's what he accomplishes in Kodesh. Now, no more than that. He can pasul ochle Kodesh, umashke Kodesh. Foods and drinks of Kodesh, yes, he can make them pasul. But he does not make Kodesh tome, which means that that level of shlishi cannot make a revi. Now, here you go. Rabbi Yossi is claiming from his Kal Vachomer that from this tful yom you should be able to actually get to a revi b'kodesh. And here the Chachamim say that there's no revi b'kodesh. So how does Rabbi Yossi say something which runs against his own shita? Matke for Rav Papa, what do you mean his own shita? Why are you making problems? I don't understand. Who told you that Rabbi Yossi holds like the Rabbanan, and that therefore there would be a contradiction to his Kal Vachomer that a Tful Yom would be able to make a Revi ultimately Bekodesh? Maybe he holds like Abba Shol. I mean, look, he doesn't have to hold like Abba Shol, because Abba Shol is really going to town and adding an additional level Midrabbanan of a mile of a Tful Yom when it comes to Kodesh to make him a Rishon. But he could even hold like Abba Shol. I mean, the truth is, if he holds like Rabbi Meir, it's also good. Rabbi Meir also agrees with the sheet of Rabbi Yossi that there is a Revi Bekodesh, meaning apostle, a psul of Revi Bekodesh, right? And you, in order to make trouble, you've decided that Rabbi Yossi must hold like the Chachamim for some reason. And because of that, I don't understand Rabbi Yossi. He contradicts himself. Maybe you're contradicting yourself. I understand where you're coming from. He could even hold like Abba Shol. Says Rav Yochanan, there is no way that Rav Yossi can hold like Abba Shol. And I'll prove it to you, you see. And therefore, I am right in claiming he can only hold like a Chachamim. He cannot hold of Abba Shol, and he cannot hold of Rabbi Meir. Why? Because Yisak at the Abba Shol Svira Lei. Then, why in the world did he make his Kal Vachomer of Revi B'Kodesh Dafka from a Mechusar Kippurim? Why did he have to go to a Mechusar Kippurim? He should have simply, he was talking about a Tful Yom, wasn't he? Well, he could have utilized a Revi B'Kodesh from foodstuffs that were touched by a Tful Yom. And that would be just as good a Kal Vachomer without needing to introduce now a Mechusar Kippurim. I'll tell you what he should have said, okay? He should have said as follows. Uma ochala b'machmas tful yom. If the din is that a tful yom touches a foodstuff, that is, even though tful yom himself has no problem of eating maaser sheni, and therefore he's mutter b'chulin, chulin again, as we've said again and again, means maaser sheni in our sugya. And nonetheless, he holds like Abba Shol, or he holds like Rabbi Meir, that ultimately that food makes a Revi B'Kodesh, like Abba Shol says and like Rabbi Meir says. So, Ochel Shlishi, Haba Machmas Sheni, where the Sheni itself is Osir B'Chulin, as we proved. Lo Achalti Mimenu Batamei means Bein Shehu Tamei V'Ani Tahor. And therefore, if the Torah called your Maaser Sheni Tamei, it would be an Isser to eat it. So that means that this becomes a Sheni, which more Chomer than a Tful Yom. We're over there, it is Osir in Maaser Sheni. So, Eino Din Shosir Revi B'Kodesh? That would have been the same Kal Vachomer that Rabbi Yossi made, utilizing Mechusar Kippurim as his source. And he could have gone directly to the same case he was talking about before, which was Tful Yom, where he already proved that a Tful Yom is capable now of making that Shlishi. And therefore, he could now extend it into Berevi. And that would be a better thing for him to do. Now, why exactly would it be a better thing for him to do? That's the question. Well, Tosfos says it would be a better thing for him to do because this is sort of a Kal Vachomer b'no shel Kal Vachomer, right? The way he's learning it, first he had to prove the din of the Shlishi, and then he uses that Kal Vachomer as the basis of his din. That's his input data for the next Kal Vachomer. That's not as powerful as going directly to the source. So that would be better. Rashi says it would be better because if he would have brought the raya from the Ochel Abba Machmas Tful Yom, he would have been teaching us that the halacha is like Abba Shol or like Rabbi Meir. And therefore, it would be more data rich. That's why it would be kedai to do it from the Ochel Abba Machmas Tful Yom and not to do it from a Mechusar Kippurim. Okay. In any event, I hope we're on the same page over here. And therefore, I show you that Rabbi Yossi is contradictory. because he himself cannot hold of anyone but the Chachamim, and yet he's claiming that there's a Revi B'Kaddish from a Kal V'Chomer. Something screwy. I don't know what it is. Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, no, it's not true what you're saying. He would never have been able to bring the Raya from Eichel that is Ba Mitful Yom. Why not? Because V'chitema Mishum Dikel Mifrach Malak Tful Yom Shu Avatuma. Remember the problem we had yesterday, that you cannot bring a Raya from a Tful Yom to anything that cannot be an Avatuma, because a Tful Yom can be an Avatuma. That was the question that we had on the original Kal V'Chomer. And there we had to go looking for the Kli Cheres and so on and so forth, remember? Yeah, but it's clear that Rabbi Yossi himself didn't find that to be a problem, because he went ahead and he ends up bringing the Chiddush that a Shlishi makes Reviv B'Kedesh from Mechusar Kippurim. A Mechusar Kippurim is also an Avatuma, for God's sake. Yes, of course. How did he become a Mechusar Kippurim? He was originally a Yoledet or a Zav, whatever. So obviously, he was an Avatuma. So how can you bring a Raya from the Mechusar Kippurim and he didn't say, well, it's not a good Kal V'Chomer because it's an Avatuma, did he? So don't give me that stuff. I know that he himself, actually, Rabbi Yossi, doesn't believe that that's a problem. Why? Because having already gone to the mikveh, the Mila of the Avatuma is no longer meaningful. That level of the Tumah was removed by going to the mikveh. Now notice that this was the issue that we had yesterday of making sure that we keep separate the treatment of Tumah and the level of the Tumah. But according to Rabbi Yossi, the treatment of the Tumah changes the Chumrah of the level of the Tumah. Therefore, Taina's Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi obviously could have made the Kal V'Chomer not using a Mechusar Kippurim, and instead utilizing Ochel Abba Machmas Tful Yom. The fact that he doesn't means he holds like the Chachamim. And if he holds like the Chachamim, then he's undermining the power of his own Kal V'Chomer. And that's why I say, Teshuvato Bitsido. You can prove from your own Shita that this Kal V'Chomer is definitely not to be applied.